As we continue this Lenten journey, it is the psalm response today that again is, I think, a hinge for the scriptures and a reminder to us of God's invitations, but to remember always, as response says, the Lord is kind and merciful. Two incredible traits that again accent God's care and goodness. But obviously the first reading, though, might give us the beginning of this process of thinking more about who is God. And so we hear this morning from the book of Exodus about really Moses's call to service. We might even believe it to be maybe even Moses's conversion. So we are mindful, or you can recall that Moses as a young baby was the boy that was saved, found by the Egyptian woman or girl, and then brought up in the court and lived in comfortableness while his fellow Israelites slaved away. And then when he was old enough to observe, he saw, you know, one of his fellow Israelites being beat up or beaten by an Egyptian, that Moses went and killed that person. And then his crime or that act of violence became known, so he fled for his life to another land. And so we hear today that Moses then was reestablished in his new land. He was married. He was at work, helping his father-in-law with the flock, and he's out in the desert and sees a burning bush. Some scholars would claim that episode of being a theophany, a way or an experience of God revealing himself. But it would be amazing to think in our lives, where have we seen the burning bush? And then to think of how has God spoken to us? Because right away, God began speaking to Moses, inviting him to take off his shoes and be mindful that it's holy ground. And then this conversation began with God and Moses. God calling Moses to lead his people from slavery in Egypt to a land of freedom. If anyone's been reading the book Rebuilt Faith this last week, a couple chapters kind of talked about and described Moses' reluctance to say yes, huh? And Moses kept saying, well, I don't know how to speak, or I don't have qualities or abilities. And God just knew that Moses was the person. And thus he persistently called him to go back to the land and help his people. Moses, though, asked that question, you know, who should I say you are? And God says, I am who am. Most of the time, that name is interpreted as Yahweh, a holy name, a very sacred name that no longer is used really in our scriptures, even in our music books, out of respect for the Jewish people. But it's a name that describes God being so abundant, so great and powerful that it's honorable and respectful. And thus today, the Lord, or the word that we would use now as the Lord when we hear that name, I am who am. And so God sent him back and said, just remind Pharaoh and the people that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, who is going to help you and allow you to come to a new land with a new possibility of growing and prospering. And thus Moses said yes, but it wasn't going to be an easy journey. This gives us a context to think about even the gospel today, knowing that God calls us, and yet there is this invitation of understanding who God is as the merciful God and yet the God of patience. So in the scriptures, especially the gospel today, Jesus talks about a couple episodes of people encountering struggle or suffering. And to say that they were wondering or asking Jesus, saying, is it because they were great sinners? And so Jesus tries to help them attain a more proper, healthy frame of mind, huh? That really he responds saying that really suffering and struggles are not because somebody has sinned or is a great sinner, but sometimes it's part of life. And it's the invitation of God calling us to not only be hopeful, but to know that it is an opportunity for us to encounter the cross and yet to turn to God for help. Now, another way to think about the gospel as Jesus continued with a parable is a little story that I want to share with you. So it's about a preacher in another parish who began his sermon also during Lent by showing his congregation four glass jars. The first jar was filled with alcohol. The second was filled with cigarette smoke. The third one was filled with chocolate syrup filled to the rim. And the fourth jar was filled with garden soil. And before he began his sermon, he put them out on a little table. And then he found or had four worms. And he put a worm in each jar. And then he preached for about 10 to 15 minutes, fire and brimstone, calling people to conversion and to repentance. And then he stopped and he said, "Now let's take a look at what happened to the worms." And so he began to open up the jars. And so the first jar, the worm was dead. The second jar, the worm was dead. The third jar, the worm was dead. He opened up the fourth jar where there was garden soil and it was alive. And so we asked his congregation the question, saying, "What does this show us, or what do we learn?" And there was, of course, silence. And then one person spoke up and said, "Well, it reminds us that if you drink alcohol, smoke, and eat chocolates, you don't have worms." And it said his sermon ended, but mine continues. But we think about garden soil, though, and that's really the analogy at the end of Jesus' parable that says sometimes we have to cultivate it, we have to somehow aerate it to allow God's goodness to prosper. So it's an analogy of really conversion, huh? That the tree that was unfruitful or was not giving fruit was given another chance, but the soil had to have some work done to it. And it might be reminiscent of our own heart and soul that during Lent, God calls us to kind of, you know, be awakened and to know that sometimes we need to add things and to challenge us to stretch ourselves so that we can become holy people, people of love and service, and people who also know of God's mercy because we acknowledge sometimes our faults. You know, through process of cultivating, we know that it's also about pulling out the weeds. And some of those might be some of those simple vices that we get connected with so much that they offer us comfortability or comfortableness where we are blind to God's grace or work in our lives. And thus, as we journey this Lent, it is God always calling us to be productive and holy people. But also the warning of the parable is that we shouldn't spiritually procrastinate. To say, "I have many more years." Notice it says the fig tree was given one more year. And we never know in our lives, because we're mortal beings, how much time God gives us. But God is willing to give us a little more time to maybe make that proper step of adjustment or improvement and to be diligent in following through. Let us pray that we can become fruitful soil where the worm lives and where, most of all, the growth of God prospers because we cooperate and say yes to repentance and no to other things, and sometimes even detach ourselves from those earthly things that sometimes can lead us away from God. The last thing I want to say is, as we contemplate this mystery of who is God, to realize, as Christ proclaimed God's kingdom, and to know in John's gospel, Jesus also answers that question, who is God, as his son. So in John's gospel, there are other incidents where Jesus says, "I am light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then to know that he says, "I am the resurrection." And thus, Jesus reveals to us this magnificence of God, his infinite love and care for us in such a way that we, like Moses, are challenged, but yet God hopes we say yes to his invitation to respond to repentance and to grow and to know that the Lord will help us become kind and merciful as he is.